them.
Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come join us. Come and learn with us. God is so good. He does not want us to perish for lack of knowledge. So he gives us amazing gifts, just like who we've got today, Miss Charlotte Iserby. And we're so grateful. But first of all, we want to do what the founders did. They realized that without God, they could not do anything. And that was the case in that Constitutional Convention when Benjamin Franklin had to speak up and said, "Have you forgot our powerful friend?" So here on City on a Hill, we rely on him. So with that in mind, I've got my dear friend Don Wildman from California. Don, I just love to ask you to start us off in prayer because I know your heart has been bleeding for the way this nation has been going, and the children are key. They are key to this nation's future. So if you don't mind, Don, would you ask the Lord to be in this conversation today?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today to ask for your hedge of protection around all of us that are working against this very pervasive evil, especially that is falling upon our nation's children. In this version of the evil, it's Common Core and all that comes in with it. Please protect our parents, our children, the teachers that are rising against this, the administrators who are rising against this, the citizens who may not think they have any stake in this, who are rising against this. And please continue to allow us to be the light in a dark place. As we move forward. And please give us wisdom and strength so that we can continue to walk in your path to show the unjustness of this recent evil in Common Core. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Don. And, you know, we're getting hit everywhere. There's so many issues. It's almost like so many places are burning. We've got this illegal immigration issue. We've got the Obamacare issue and all those things. We must hold up before God. They're all very important. But the one we're going to talk about today is the issue of the children. And they're there in the classrooms, and nobody is fighting for them but us. And we want that number to grow because we know how important they are. I mean, God gave us that gift of love, and we certainly love our children, our grandchildren. And we see what's happening. I mean, there's so much information out there. And one of the latest ones that I just want to mention is somebody had posted in, I think, the Oklahoma is against Common Core. And it was just really, I think, what Charlotte Iserby and others have been researching. This person put it together. You know, the control, the mind control that's really going on, you know, right there in our schools, because it's all about control. When you control the child, you control the future. And we've heard that before. And, you know, other people know that works, but it's kind of like, no, nobody's going to do that to our children here in America, this wonderful land where, you know, but I think about it, we're almost like birds in a gilded cage, Miss Charlotte. That's what it feels like. And with that in mind, I think most everybody knows Miss Charlotte. But if you don't mind, Miss Charlotte, tell us about your book, because we want everybody to get on your website. And also, you've got some upcoming videos. There's a trailer. I want you to mention that, because that 30-minute trailer is something everybody needs to watch. And then we also need to watch what's coming up. So if you don't mind, I'll start off with those, Miss Charlotte.
All right, okay, thank you. Well, at AmazonWrite.com right now, you can get the updated, abridged version of The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America that I wrote in 1999, the big book. It's smaller, it's very user-friendly. It may not have the appendices and the index and all, because we took those things out deliberately to make it more user-friendly, but those parts that have been taken out are available at the free download at my website of the whole big original book. But I really want people, I don't often, I always forget to sort of advertise the updated version because, yeah, I always tell people that the big baby, the original is on the internet at my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com, and that's a free download. But the updated version is terribly important because it covers the years, which is at Amazon. It covers the years 1999 to 2011. And those are really the years that a lot of your people are dealing with because it's the implementation of the Soviet polytech system, the school to work, and the federally funded school choice agenda, which is very, very, very dangerous. And so I really urge people to go to Amazon and to get the updated version. You can always go on the internet for the other. But it's $29.95 at Amazon. Now, I have the my little book, Back to Basics Reform, or Skinnerian International Curriculum, which was written in 1985 after I had been fired from my job in the United States Department of Education for leaking a technology document, terribly important one. That is a very important book, Back to Basics Reform or Skinnerian International Curriculum Necessary for United States Participation in a One World Socialist Government by the Early Years of the 21st Century. It's loaded. It could have been written tomorrow. I told the American people what was happening, what was going on in my office, and my office in the Reagan administration at the U.S. Department of Ed, most important office in the world for education, Office of Educational Research and Improvement, connected with the Office of Economic Cooperation and Development, UNESCO, et cetera. That office, everything that came out of there was pure Marxism. And I have to say this, it was under the Reagan administration. I'm going to tick off the things that happened in my office between 1981 and I was fired in 83. The school choice agenda, which so many people think is good, but it's not because it's tax funded. That means that religious education, private education, computers, et cetera, virtual charter schools, which are totally, they're public schools, The only difference is they don't have an elected school board, right? So all of tuition tax credits and vouchers, all of that was in my office. At one point, I was in charge of that, okay? Computers, that was my office, too. All the big corporations were coming in for meetings. Bill Gates, you know, you name it, Hewlett-Packard, all of them, for 1 week in Washington having meetings. I was involved in that. Public-private partnerships. Ronald Reagan did that to us. That was essential to put the Soviet Polytech system in, because then you have the merger of the public and private sector, which is the same as in the Soviet Union, and you have no accountability. And when that happened, then charter schools and school choice became possible, didn't they? So they, that goes with school choice, charter schools, and all the corporations moving in. Then the major thing, of course, was Skinner, the Pavlovian method of teaching, which had been going on ever since 1965, but only with the minorities. They experimented with a system, the restructuring of the education system. They use the minorities with the new system that's going in. You can actually Google, to get a good idea of what it looks like, just Google Reinventing School Coalition, RISC, R-I-S-C. So they used minorities in all the inner city schools. I don't think they left a single one out, from 1968 to this moment. And they were refining the education system, which really had to be switched from academics to workforce training, the Soviet system. So what do? They took the grades out. They gave continuous improvement. No competition. Workforce training. Community councils and all of that. In many cases, no boards, elected boards. Skinner, mainly, I could make a pitch on a high achiever by reinforcing it on a proper schedule. Now, these people knew exactly what they were doing because their plan came from 1934 with the Carnegie Corporation, 1933, excuse me. 1933 to 41, the Carnegie Corporation conducted something called the eight-year study. And the Education Commission of the States is very important in education matters in the United States, funded by Carnegie, interestingly enough. In the mid-'80s or early 90s, came right out and said that the eight-year study was the pilot for outcomes-based education. So, in other words, outcomes-based education was planned back in the 1930s in order to put in the Soviet Polytech system. I know people get upset when I point this out. We're putting in the Soviet system, not just in education, in everything. You know, with the UN Agenda 21, sustainable development, everything. We're putting in the Soviet system, and people have got to wake up and stop calling us kooks. We're not. We know exactly what we're talking about because we're just reading the history. Now, let me just make a point here before I move on. You have an ad coming on?
Oh, no.
No, go ahead, Charlotte.
Okay, all right. Now, look, a lot of people out there are saying, Soviet system? Well, that's a real exaggeration. You know, maybe corporate fascism, which is bad enough, but she's really off her rocker. Well, look, let's quote Gorbachev, the former president of the Soviet Union, with whom Ronald Reagan signed the education agreements to merge the two education systems. Let's quote him in the early years of this century, I think 2001 in London. This is for people who do not believe me when I say we're putting in the Soviet system. He said, in regard to the European Union, that the European Union is the new European Soviet. Now, I just want to ask your listeners and all out there who are probably very good, and I'm not getting after them. They're the ones who are going to take this message, I hope, and spread it. If the European Union, in the words of Mikhail Gorbachev, the former president of the Soviet Union with whom Ronald Reagan signed these agreements to merge our two education systems, is considered to be the new European Soviet, you answer this question for me. What is the North American Union, which is modeled on the European Union? I'm not even going to answer that question. Let you answer it. You have to own your answer. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody out there got an answer to that? How about you, Christina?
Honey, I'm with you.
No, but you have an answer, don't you?
To the how do we answer the question of how we're going to North American Soviet Union?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're already there. You know.
That's right. Good.
Already
thank
there.
You. So look now, if we're already there, and you're pretend you're running the show.
Okay.
Forget that you're just a parent down there or a teacher being manipulated into putting the system in. Pretend you're way up top with the major change agents. You're up there with George Soros and Rockefeller and Gates and Arne Duncan, and we can go on to chief state school officers, and we can go Linda Darling Hammond and John Goodlatte and everybody you can possibly think of who've had this goal of putting us under a Soviet system for a long time. 1934, a book I have by Carnegie calls for using the schools to change America to a planned economy, which is going in right now by Carnegie with Mark Tucker and all of them, okay?
That was conclusions
and records. All of a sudden, you've gotten your best clothes on and you've gotten in the elevator at Rockefeller Center or wherever, maybe out of Presidium for you guys. And you're going to a big meeting. You're one of them. Now, I want to ask all of you, if your goal was to bring the United States down into the communist system, which was admitted to Norman Dodd during the Reese Committee hearings, the president of the Ford Foundation told Norman Dodd during that investigation of the tax-exempt foundations in 1953 that the foundations got their instructions from the White House, and the instructions were to change America so it could be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union, which is happening right now. Maybe they changed the labels, but they always do. That's what you call semantic deception.
Right.
So anyway, what would your agenda be? Would you be messing around with the standards for Common Core? No.
Amen. Thank you. No.
No. You know what you'd be doing? You'd be starting at the top. You'd be talking about, you know, we don't have to use tanks and bombers anymore. You know what? We've got to change the system radically. What's the most important thing that we have to change in order to get Americans to accept what we want, which is complete totalitarian communist control?
Our education
system. We have to get rid of their elective system of government. And then they say, well, gee whiz, how can we do that? That's pretty hard. Most Americans would never, you know, vote for getting rid of that. Well, this was quite a long time ago, too. They started with regional government, which they started about 70 or 80 years ago with regional government, okay? And they've been doing away, dropping borders, getting rid of elected officials all along, you know? And UN Agenda 21 does it and everything, but they never dared touch the schools to that extent with elected boards. Because we moms and dads and teachers are there, and we might have caught them. So what do? They say, how are we going to do that? We need, for workforce training, we've got to have charter schools. We can't have the traditional system, K-12, with the three principals and an elected board and grades and competition. We can't have that. We've got to switch it to the Soviet system. No grades, no competition, no K-12, no ABCD. We've got to restructure the system, but the elected boards aren't going to give that up. So how do we do it? They've known this a long time ago. I'm going back to 1968 when they started experimenting in the inner city with this system. We've been experimenting with that system ever since 1968, especially with Skinner, which is absolutely mastery learning, direct instruction being pushed by all the neoconservatives, right?
Miss Charlotte, can I say something, Miss Charlotte, just to interject a little bit here? There is this Wall Street Journal article that I posted, and I'm going to just quote what Lou Gerstner said. I'm going to suggest is that he, talking about Obama, convene the 50 governors, and the first thing they do is they abolish the 16,000 school districts we have in the United States. 16,000 school districts are what we're trying to cram this reform through.
That's perfect. I haven't seen it. Will you send that to me?
I sure will.
Oh, my goodness. That's absolutely superb. You see, that fits in.
November 23, 2008.
Fantastic. Well, now, so what you see is they're not going to be able to tell us what they're doing. They've done it with the minorities. That's finished now. Minorities went down the tubes because of the experiment. No grades, no K through 12, et cetera. And the new risk program, as I mentioned, allows for graduation at 14 or 21. And the schools that do the best will be getting the Malcolm Baldrige Total Quality Management Award. And it's all Marxist critical thinking, no academics. So what I'm trying to say is you have got to, you know, if we had more time, I really appreciate the work that's being done on Common Core. I myself do, because there's a lot in there that I didn't know myself, right? Although I've seen most of it. Over the past 40 years I've been doing research, I've seen most of it. We've had this Marxist curriculum for years. We've had a national curriculum for years and a national assessment. The only difference is we have technology now on the computer. But what they have to do up there, think of it, doesn't it make sense? They're not really, you know, the common core to them is keeping you occupied.
Right.
While they take our elective form of government away from us through school choice and charter schools. You know, even if they don't get our legislatures and don't get the Congress, if they get our schools,
mm-hmm.
which are very heavily funded, number two after defense, if they can get a hold of that honeypot, billions of dollars, and have it controlled by unelected councils through charter schools, and listen on this one, because school choice, tax-funded school choice is being recommended in most states by governors, especially the Republicans, tax-funded school choice is lethal. You might as well have the public school system again, but you don't have elected boards. I hope people understand the minute, say a private school takes tax money. Forget it. You think you can avoid the Common Core?
No. Nope.
If you take tax money, once you do, you'll be tested to the Common Core. Once a religious school takes tax money, it will be tested to the Common Core. So, wait a minute now. Wouldn't you be just as well off being in the old public school system? Where at least you had hopefully, held on to an elected board? Look, a lot of thinking has to go on here. There are people out there who just haven't figured it out. So, why I'm saying, put yourself on the 35th floor with those guys up there and figure out yourself. How would you take America without anybody knowing what you're doing? How would you do it? It's very clever. They're doing it through school choice. Who would ever dream they're not going to do it through tanks and bombers and all? Hmm? They're doing it through something that sounds totally innocent and wonderful. School choice. That's the Trojan horse. And the other Trojan horse are the neoconservatives. I cannot believe that these people that I trusted ever since the early 70s and worked with are carrying out this evil agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot. Now I'm naive. I should have known after I got fired and wrote my little book, Back to Basics, which people have got to get that little book. It's only $10 at Infowars.com. When I wrote that book, and it was boycotted by every single conservative organization, major one, in this country. Now, ask yourself, that's another question to ask. Why? Where are they coming from? Or were they just so loyal to Ronald Reagan that they were mad at Israel for telling the truth? Same with Solzhenitsyn class from America's Latest Education Fad. I wrote in 1989. They boycotted that one, too. You know, all of this, you can get my book, Back to Basics. It's at my website, a PDF, and Soviets in the Classroom. That's a PDF, too. But it's better. The little book, Back to Basics, has now been republished just 2 weeks ago, and it is at Infowars.com. You know, get it from their store. Please get as many copies as you can. Only $10, huh? That book could have been written tomorrow. It covered everything I've been talking to you about today.
Well, Miss Charlotte, we need to do that, and I've got some people on here that would like to ask you some questions, but let me state this first, because that Wall Street Journal, you know, that was back in 2008, and right there, you know, it blows your mind. He was telling us what was going to happen.
I think it's terribly important, and that Lou Gerstner, he's been deeply involved. He was back in the 1980s with Mark Tucker and all of them. That recommendation of his is, of course, absolutely essential if you're sitting on the 35th floor of Rockefeller Center, as I just said. That's what they want to do. They love it when you worry about, is this math standard good? Is this English standard good? Is this critical thinking good? We've had critical thinking, Marxist critical thinking, since 1965.
Miss Charlotte, you know, when people ask who wrote, well, it was his group. It was a chief. You know, they were right there at the beginning. So, we need to wake up. So, Miss Charlotte, let me quote something for us today also to. I just read this, and it's just, to me, you know, we just really, as parents, grandparents, we have to be informed. We have to study.
Would you read that again?
Sure, okay. It says here, the Wall Street Journal. Let me see if I can find it again. Okay. It says, I'm going to suggest that he convene the 50 governors, and the first thing they do is they abolish the 16,000 school districts we have in the United States. 16,000 school districts are what we're trying to crown this reform through. And that was Luther suggested. Yes, go ahead.
That's the best piece of. Oh, you know, I knew what he was up to, but I don't remember that quote. That quote is the answer to everything. That's exactly what they're doing. They're abolishing. They created the problem, the dumbing down and everything in the public schools, and now he's recommended it. Very stupid recommendation on his part. They are doing it right now. They're abolishing the school systems, the public school system. You see it. Everybody sees it. The teachers are performance-based teaching. The good ones will all get out. They're getting rid of academics. They're doing everything possible to crash what I call not the past 50 years, the finest education system in the world. Mm-hmm. And they have been planning this for many years. And they use the minorities since the late 60s to get us to the point where the system is refined now for people like Gerstner and Gates and Rockefeller and all. It's been refined. By the pilots that have been taking place since 68 in the inner cities. That's the school system that will be used for all our children now, for the Soviet polytech system that has no grades, no competition, science and math emphasis, Darwin and Pavlov and Skinner and computers. It's the Soviet system. And go and get my book, and you can read a whole paper that was brought back in 1959 by American educators to the U.S. Office of Ed. They were commissioned to go over there, and they studied the system. And if you can find anything different in that paper that they brought back, I'll give you $100. It's what's going in right now. And your children are nothing but human resources to spin off profits for these people.
Human resources. What did Khrushchev say way back when? What did Khrushchev say about communism?
Oh, yeah, he said we do it to ourselves. We would fall like right through.
It will take us down. Yeah, they will take us down from within. What are they doing?
And through economics.
Go back to
And, you know, so it was clever, you know, the phony fall. Hmm? That was clever how they operate that. You have to give them credit, huh? But again, you have to pretend you're up there with them. How could they pull this deal off? Well, they had to have the phony fall. That wasn't a true fall.
Let me go ahead and let me read something to Charlotte, and then let some of these folks give you a question, because I know they're just chomping at the bit to ask you some questions.
Okay.
But I just read this, and this was a great article, and it says right here, let's see. There are student identification methods applied to confidential tests and surveys that testers say are not individually identifiable. This is something, however, that students are not individually identified. Confused, the National Center for Education Statistics 1993 Field Restricted Use Data Procedures Manual explains this semantic sleight of hand. Techniques range from simple barcoding and slugging to more complicated exercises such as sticky labeling and inserting embedded identifiers. To the testers, however, the term confidential means need to know. The confidential label casually applied by officials to modern testing and surveys devices invariably is taken for anonymity, thereby masking the fact that, one, higher scores are accorded preferred viewpoint. Two, curriculum is modified and targeted to specific groups of children to correct inappropriate attitudes and, more ominously, certain views that once were considered principled now are deemed rigid and associated with mental illness or psychological defects. I'm just saying that because parents need to realize this right here. They've got all these tests and surveys, and this is one of the uses. So they have the means. They have perfected their means of controlling the children, as you know, Ms. Charlotte has been referring to. But let me go ahead and give somebody a chance to ask a question. Alice, are you on? I know you've got a question for Ms. Charlotte. Or I think it's okay, go ahead, Alice. Alice Linehan, Ms. Charlotte. She is from Texas. And Charlotte, Ms. Charlotte, she has a radio show, so I'm sure Alice is going to want you to come on there. But go ahead, Alice.
Yes, I would be honored to have you on the show and share your message and your insight and wisdom to Texans. You know, in Texas, we just passed sweeping charter school legislation. I was against it in the beginning. I didn't understand it actually till this show, really. And I was more against it because I saw the threat from the Gulen schools. But the fact that you've laid this out, it all just makes sense. So we've put in place in Texas these charter schools. We said no to Common Core. Our elected officials can now say that they've, you know, publicly they can say, oh, we're against Common Core, but they've let it in the back door. Through this charter school legislation.
Absolutely.
How do we, to me, let me tell you what I'm thinking and tell me if I'm off track or if there's another way. To me, the only way past this is at a massive ground game of education to moms and dads to get them educated on exactly what's happening, because I don't think they, you know, obviously I've been involved in this for a while, and the lights just all went off today for me listening to this show. So is it a massive ground game that is the answer, or how do we stop this?
Well, I think we have to focus. And I think that's the problem. There's so many things going on right now that are really serious, right? I mean, if I weren't dealing with this, I'd be out there fighting. I am anyway, you know, UN Agenda 21, et cetera. There's so much going on, gun controls, land grabs, et cetera. But you look at all of these things, and this is the way I look at it. if we allow our elective system of government to go down, which is really the number one goal here, because, you know, if you want to take a country, you can't take it if they're able to go to the polls.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key right there. Now, if they get that from us, none of these other issues will even be relevant, because we won't be able to vote against gun controls or land grabs or
right.
UN Agenda 21 or bad standards or sex ed or you name it. We won't be able to vote against anything. That's why we have to focus on what's most important. And that's why I said that when they have these meetings, they up there, the elitists, these evil people, they're not really concerned about all the issues all of us are down there. They're concerned about taking away our representative form of government without our knowing. And the way they do it is through semantic deception. They're doing it through something that sounds so good to us. School
right.
choice.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You see what I'm
yes.
saying? So,
mm-hmm.
and then they get the school choice. But Americans are just got to wake up and realize that there's no choice.
That's right.
In
right.
school choice, if the school choice entity, like your religious school or your home school or your private school, if it has tax money, it's controlled. Absolutely every single
yeah.
thing that you learn, your child learns, or is tested on, or that your teacher has to teach, comes out of my old office in the U.S. Department of Ed. That's the Common Core. And don't let anybody tell you that the Council of Chief State School Officers is not the Department of Education. It is. I used to handle the grants in my office. And I saw these grants. I mean, the one I leaked, Better Education Skills Through Technology, that put the curriculum. People are talking about Common Core now. It's putting software into the schools in 1981. Software,
yeah.
curriculum development. And you know what it said on that piece of paper and why I leaked it? It said, what we, at the federal level, Department of Ed, my office, what we can control and manipulate. And then it said, the task force members, the content of the curriculum. And I leaked it. Now, that's what I want you all to know.
Mm-hmm.
You see, once school choice, once private education, religious education, any education, homeschool education takes one penny
right.
from any level of tax funding, local,
right.
state,
uh-huh.
or federal, it is totally controlled. Totally controlled. And that's what the guys at Rockefeller Center want. That's what Gerstner wants. He wants to bring the whole public school system with its elective system of government down, crash it. So
yeah.
we will have free hand to run through all of the choice schools, control all the choice schools, and we've got
yeah.
to control anywhere with charter schools because they don't have an elected board. So if I hope you understand what I'm talking about. You
yeah.
ask me, what do parents go up against? They go up against school choice. That's
yeah.
all. They don't mess around with standards. They don't mess around with sex ed. They don't mess around with land use or guns. They go
yeah.
after school choice and taking our elective form of government away from us. Taxation without
representation. That's it. That's it right there. That's
well,
it.
Well, Ms. Charlotte,
wow.
let me ask Alice, is Meryl here? And Meryl, do you have a question?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Meryl, if you don't mind, introduce yourself a little bit. Sorry.
Hi, Charlotte. This is a thrill. I've spoken with you before. My name is Meryl Hope, and I write a lot about this. As a parent, we live through it, and I like to say California is ground zero, that we live through everything you're saying is true. And
yep.
I know it firsthand from my own child. And the article that you just read, the little excerpt from Diana, was that something you posted on Facebook, or is that something that I just missed the title because I was too busy listening to the content? Because I wrote a whole series on how they're using IEPs to reframe, restructure, change the spectrum, and all the undesirables are in this category now.
Exactly.
But here's my question, Charlotte. You are the godmother of this cause. How do we, as a movement, bring them down? It's David and Goliath time, and we need marching orders. And I know that's what Alice, you know, was asking you as well. That's where we need to go.
Where do we need to go?
Yeah. What do we need to do as a movement?
Oh, well, look, what you have to do is you have to tell all these neoconservative organizations to get out of your hair and get out of your house and get out of, you know, taking your money and spending it to push school choice. The Heritage Foundation is rotten to the core. It drafted the North American Free Trade Agreement. So what are our people listening to them for in regard to education and school choice? You've got to know, look, any entity that drafted NAFTA, which took all our jobs away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they also supported the U.S.-Soviet Education Agreement. Ed Fuller was totally on board. In fact, they set up an office in Moscow after the phony fall of the Soviet Union. Look, you can't trust these groups. I'm sorry to say it. I did. It's not like I didn't trust them. I spent about 15 years, and I kept hoping. But you know what? When they started boycotting, the first boycott was a little book I want everybody to get at InfoWars. It only costs $10. It's my little book, Back to Basics Reform or Skinnerian International Curriculum. Everything that's going on today that you gals are concerned about and will be happening tomorrow is in that little book. It could have been written tomorrow. Get that little book. That book was boycotted across the board. You know what the conservative movement said about that book? They said, I wrote it because I was sour grapes because I got fired. Huh? That's what they said about Charlotte. I'd worked in the movement for years. I was a great follower, was supporter of Ronald Reagan. All these groups, I was involved with them. And I found out, you know, when I was in the Reagan administration, I didn't really find out. I kept asking questions. I kept saying, why are they supporting this horrible agenda that you parents are now fighting? Why are they supporting this? Then I got fired, you know. I fired myself. Really, I didn't have to leak the document. They say I got fired and I was sour grapes. I asked to get myself fired. I leaked a document to Human Events. I blew the whistle on technology. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, the first thing you have to do is stop trusting these neoconservative groups.
Thank you.
Stop it. Stop it. Listen to the people running your marvelous show today. You look, just because you all feel disorganized, hey, look, stay disorganized. That's number one. Do not get organized. If you get organized, you'll be infiltrated. Do not get organized. Have a loose-knit, wonderful network that you all have. You can call each other and all. Of course, you get listening on, but who cares, right? Look, keep it loose-knit. When you go in the bathroom in the morning to brush your teeth, you know what the first thing you do? You look at yourself in the mirror and you say, do I trust you?
Charlotte, can I ask you one more question?
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest frustrations, and when I went through this as a parent, everything you're saying, trust me, I know how you feel. I mean, when I was living in California, the cheese does stand alone because other people's children, they're under the radar, they're not getting affected, everyone's going along with the program. What's your problem? How do we wake up the unwakeable? This is the biggest frustration. How do you wake them up?
Well,
they
you know what,
see
I think,
it.
I think still, here, we're going to go back. Forget about waking up, though. What you have to do is you have to get the teachers, some of them on your side. You're going to have to go. I wouldn't worry about the parents right now. I would go to the teachers. I would go to school boards. I would inform them in regard to what I just told you. Enough resources out there. If you gave all of them a copy of my little book, Back to Basics Reform, written in 1985, that should take care of the whole problem, huh? Because I explained it. How many years ago? 15, 20, 28 years ago? It's all in there, everything you all are fighting right now. Your Common Core came out of the Northwest Regional Laboratory in 1971. There's nothing new about it.
Right.
Nothing new. So that would be a good idea. It only costs $10. You go to these people, and some elected officials really would like to stay in office. And you tell them what you know, Christina just read from the Wall Street Journal. Make multiple copies of that thing, millions of copies of that quote. And show
it
to them.
I'm posting it right now on Facebook.
Thank you, dear.
All right. Now, look, you go and you say, you know what? You're scheduled for the guillotine. Your job is gone. Same thing for teachers. Are you going to get together with us parents? Are we going to restore, did you hear me? Restore the public school system with its traditional hierarchy, you know, grades, competition, et cetera, elected boards, get rid of all the crap we've had for 50 years. You know what I mean by that? Sorry to use that language, but, you know, the stuff we parents have been going crazy out of our minds, disgusting, revolting, values-changing garbage. We're going to get rid of that stuff. We're going to shut down the United States Department of Ed with the exception of one little office that we're going to hold on to. And that will allow us to go to Congress. There'll still be that line of accountability for federal money because we may have to hold on to some of the Title I stuff and all. So we would have a small office allowed in Washington. Then we get rid of every single State Department of Ed. Because I don't know whether your people realize they get up to 50% of their operating budget from my old office. State Departments of Ed have to go down. Then we restore the traditional public school system, and we have very different hiring methods than the ones we have now. We know if the teachers want to survive as teachers, academic teachers, not facilitators of technology, if they want to survive, they're going to have to deal with us parents, right? And we're going to tell them, look, we want academics. We don't want the F. Skinner. We don't believe that Benjamin Bloom should have any say whatsoever in our child's education, where he says the purpose of education is to change the thoughts, values, and attitudes of actions of students and defines good teaching as challenging the student's fixed beliefs. You say that, teacher. You know as well as I do, teacher, that your role when you went into education, what you didn't really go in there, did you, to challenge the student's fixed beliefs?
Yeah.
No, most of them didn't, huh?
That's right.
So you're going to find teachers on your side and school board members. This is my proposal. There is no other alternative except lethal. The other alternative is the loss of our free economic and political system through school choice. You either do that, you want to do that, okay, go ahead, do it. Or you make this huge effort to restore the public school system. I know you're saying it's a woman gone crazy. She just wrote it.
No, we agree with you.
Charlotte, I have a question to try to salvage the public school system. Then what do we do with things like the teachers' unions and all of that are
At the top, the teachers' union at the top, believe it or not, are controlled by the internationalists, Rockefeller and all.
Right.
I've got a very good paper in my book. It's called Seven Cardinal Principles, the NEA's Seven Cardinal Principles Revisited. And it's the whole global education plan in 1976, how they were going to do it through schools. And the pre-planning committee, they have a list of people in it, and they have David Rockefeller. Now, who on earth ever would dream that the NEA takes its orders from David Rockefeller. They do.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers don't know this stuff, see? David Rockefeller, the late McGeorge Bundy, who's skull and bones at Yale, huh? Ted Sizer, real commie, excuse me. T.H. Bell, the worst people you've ever seen listed on the pre-planning committee. Now, most teachers do not know anything about this. They really, most teachers, you know, the conservative movement would let you think that the average American teacher is a communist. The average American teacher is not anything. They're really quite apolitical. You've got people like Linda Darling Hammond. She's a Marxist, right? You've got plenty of change agents out there who've been working on these poor teachers ever since 1965 to brainwash and twist their brains, put them through sensitivity training, destroy their thinking. They have to go through this once a week. You parents know, you know, when your daughter comes home, say, oh, Mommy, you know what? I have to come home at noon on Friday. And you say, what's going on? Oh, it's teacher in service. So, you know what that poor teacher's getting then? Brainwashing.
Yes.
So what you would be doing, you would be going to teachers and saying, look, we've got to get together on this. You want to keep your job? We want to keep our children. We've got to work together. But the only way we can accomplish anything is if we have elected boards. Your future depends on it. Our future depends on it. Don't let them take away the elected boards. Like Gerstner, wonderful, wonderful quote. I can't wait to open my computer and get that. Don't just put it on Facebook. I don't have Facebook. Send me that quote.
I'll email it to you.
Well, Ms. Charlotte, you know, because that follows with the idea that, you know, when you get rid of these local boards, that that's what's going to happen to teachers as facilitators of 100 kids or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, well, the teachers, look, I forgot to tell you all that we've got this project, four-disc project, at a conference here at my place last summer. It was 2 days, closed to the public. Public school teachers, Samuel Blumenfeld, my old good old friend, he came in, Rosa Corey, you know Rosa, and some of our leading researchers. And we videotaped the whole thing, and we're putting it together, and I advertised it on the Alex Jones Show, too. It will be available September 1st, I hope. It's incredible. Four discs and a lot of written research from old-timers, some of whom have passed away. It's very important history, including the 2 days of videotaping of talks by public school teachers, researchers, and Rosa and Blumenfeld, and it's $29.95, and it will be for sale at Amazon.com around the 1st of September, you know, maybe a little later, okay? I want you all to know that, because and the trailer for that is a YouTube trailer. Now, I'm sure that, Christina, you have it, don't you?
Yes, I do. I posted it on several Facebook pages, Sharon.
Okay, so the trailer tells you pretty much what it is. And all of us, it's not just myself talking about school choice. We old-timers are all horses, you know. We've been around a long time. We know what they're doing. And so we have exposed them, even in the trailer sort of exposed. But the major project, which will be ready in September, will really be very valuable for people to have video discs, and there's a DVD with all the written submissions, the old research. So there's plenty out there.
I also posted your interview.
Don't get sidetracked. As much as, and I want to say this for the people who've been involved in researching Common Core, I very much appreciate the work they've done. I find it fascinating myself because I've been watching this for years. And their work is really good. And I'm talking about some of the videos that have been done. You know, Karen Bracken did one, and then the other gal from Georgia. And there have been many, many, even what's his name, you know, out of Utah. What's his name? You know, I can't remember. Why can't I? He's done some good work on, too. But I want to say, and Orlean Cole did a beautiful job. You know Orlean, I guess.
Yeah.
And well, she's up in the Bay Area. So I believe this work is very necessary. I'm not saying it's a total waste of time, but it should be used to educate parents in regard to what they're not going to be able to vote for or against if they allow school choice to go in. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Charlotte? I also posted your interview, your recent interview with Alex Jones on InfoWars on pages because people need to hear that. People need to hear, and I was told, oh, well, people aren't going to watch it because it's on InfoWars. I don't care where it is. You know, put it out there and let those that will watch it because that is such vital information for people to understand.
Well, you know what? I'm very happy they have watched it. I think it's had 25,000 hits in 5 days. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know,
those people that are afraid to talk about this, Charlotte, they're afraid to talk about it. So they would be the ones that go, it's got InfoWars on it. Well, so what?
Right. Well, a lot of good stuff at InfoWars. We don't have to agree with everything, do we? But all I'm saying is that the research is good. I think the time has come to stop researching Common Core. Enough has been done.
Right.
And we know, Linda Darley. Look at it this way. If Linda Darling Hammond is involved in anything, it's Marxist.
Oh.
So why do we bother doing any more research? And Bill Ayers. And look, Arne Duncan. Arne Duncan came out of Chicago where he wants to pay the kids for good grades. That's scary.
They're all connected, Charlotte. They're all connected. You know, you can go back. Arne Duncan, David Coleman, Kevin Jennings is tied into those two. They're all tied into Be the Change, Van Jones, Center for American Progress. It's just the same people in the same players that we're dealing with. And I've spent hours.
Absolutely. And they don't you people understand that they love it.
Yeah.
When you go up against
them, Christina Michelle, they're really happy
to keep you occupied.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah,
sure. Miss Charlotte, we've got somebody that wants to ask you a question, Miss Charlotte. I'm sorry, if you don't mind, introduce yourself.
Sure, of course. Charlotte, by means of reference, I'm an old friend of Sam Blumenfeld's from the homeschool movement, and you and I met in Washington, D.C. when I covered it as a member of the press, Separation of School and State Conference with Marshall Fritz, and my name's Carolee Adams. Charlotte, Carolee Adams, and
Carolee, yes.
You know me perhaps from the Army Amendment. I was the woman who founded that. And anyway, to make a long story short, I know to get from here to there sometimes takes incremental steps. And you know, the things such as the Army Amendment protected at that time religious schools and home schools and private schools from H.R. 6, the Elementary and Secondary Education Act at that time. However, you know, now what I'm looking at are two things. Number one, I was on a TV show last night, and I mentioned, people said, well, what kind of education do we really want? And I always reference Dorothy Sayers' books, The Lost Tools of Learning. I don't know if you agree with that essay, and that's something that could be further promoted. That's the first question. And the second one is this. In my state, my very conservative congressman has introduced a bill or reintroduced a bill called the Learn Act. And, you know, I joined the Reagan campaign. I'm president of Eagle Forum of New Jersey, and I joined the Reagan campaign in 1978 because he had promised to shut down the Department of Education, and you know the rest of the story. But anyway, I've always looked for ways to try and whittle down their budget or get rid of them. And, I mean, we can't, you know, they're not going to go away overnight. But the Learn Act basically allows people or allows states to opt out of federal funding. You know, if the states decide that, you know, they're not getting the bang out of their buck for the federal funds, or they send, like we do in New Jersey, we send more down to D.C. than we get back, they can opt out. And that way, that I think might be something to begin to whittle down. I mean, it started out as a $13 billion effort under Jimmy Carter, now over a trillion. So that, do you think that incremental step is worthy? And I don't want to take up more time.
It would be worthy if it were 20 years ago, but we just don't have that much time. But, you know, I wouldn't want people to spend a lot of time And the other thing is I've become so skeptical, you know, because I know how they operate. They, you know, they sit in their little rooms and they you know, through somatic deception and the dialectic and, you know, create the problem, people scream, impose the solution. Well, who knows? That solution of incrementally breaking it down and all, that might be their solution. Keep us busy for a few years while they put everything in, because they've got everything already anyway. The State Department's of Ed have got all that they really need. It's very interesting what you told me that. It's called the LEARN Act, because I've been very suspicious of the reauthorization, certainly, and there's another bill in there that Christina, we were talking about earlier on this month, and where they talk about returning the funding and love services to the local level. And that, you know what, the minute I hear that, you know, my little ears prick up like I'm a little dachshund or something. My little dachshund is little ears that...
Well, that's basically what this supposedly does.
And,
I mean, it's
that scared me to death, because, of course, they're telling us that. We're all going to say, oh, good, finally, you know, they're going to return the stuff. No, because, as I say, ask this question. Who are the big culprits in this thing, aside from the change agents in education, right? The corporations. The corporations are not in Washington. They're at the local level. So they're going to return everything to the local level so the corporations can run everything without elected school boards. Come on, be careful. Be careful you wish for.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with the removal of school boards, though. And I do know the congressman well. He is one of our finest fiscal, and he homeschooled his children as well, too.
Well,
one of the finest fiscal.
I'm not saying it's bad, that one. I'm saying that the situation is very urgent. You know, if he's that good, you ought to go to him. And you ought to talk about this loss of elected officials and school choice. I would rather have him spending his time. You see, that's what we need, people like that, spending his time explaining to the constituents that this is very serious, the charter school business. I'd like to have his opinion on charter schools and tax-supported school choice. Somebody has got to speak out from Congress and the Senate in regard to the danger here.
But you're talking about tax credits.
The traditional public school system, I've talked about all the garbage in it that were deliberately created to get us to accept the solution, right? I'm talking about the system itself, competitive. You see, they've got to do away with competition and academics. They want to impose on our children the Soviet polytech system, and I always quote.
I've been holding and calling, and I just wish to make a statement. Joint Resolution 50, known as the Parental Rights Bill, that is being pushed by some of the neoconservatives, mainly Michael Ferris, head of the homeschool organization, calls, and it is a direct shot to a constitutional convention. That is
right
the last
on.
Thing
girl,
we
I
want
that,
right now.
Right on. You know, this all has to do with doing away with our elected officials, too. They've got to take us down. If they can get that constitutional convention, everything I've said today, forget it. Forget education. Forget everything.
Michael Ferris was part, and I don't know if he still is or not, he was part of the secret right-wing organization called the Council for National Policy.
That's right.
Can you imagine calling a constitutional convention at this time?
No.
I'm way out here in Arizona, and I think I was one of the first teachers to expose the Skinnerian system, and that's what we're putting in now, and it's just incredible. Charlotte, keep up your good work, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, listen, absolutely. She's a magnificent person. I'm going to tell you a little story about her. She took strong stands on this Pavlovian method, this animal training method that I've mentioned to everybody. And, you know, for the past, how many years the inner cities have been, they've been piloting it. Now all our children are going to have it because it's necessary for school to work. But when she spoke out about this, and it was the conservative movement that attacked her with a letter that was sent out across the country really defaming her, libelous, horrible things they said about her. She should have taken them to court. Now, I'm not going to mention the name of this organization, but I want the people listening in here today to understand the Council for National Policy is a very wicked, bad organization. And it has, I sent with Roz Haley from Texas, great grand dame, who belonged to the Council for National Policy, but she didn't know how bad it was. She and I sent out a letter to all members of the CNP in the late 80s, I think, in regard to a postcard project to get the United States out of the United Nations. We have to support Joe Scarborough's bill, Florida, to get us out, right? And we had this project, and we sent a letter to 300 of them. It was a postcard project. We would have had postcards. You gals could use this, too. It's a good system. Postcards in regard to websites, where you go, the legislation to support to get out, et cetera, et cetera. And you put those postcards in every bit of mail that you send, Christmas cards, et cetera, under windshield wipers, in parking lots, church, et cetera, right? So we asked the Council for National Policy people, 300 of them, we sent the big brown envelopes, and Roz Haley from Texas, who was Ronald Reagan's appointee to get us out of UNESCO, she signed the letters. Now, listen to this. We didn't get one single response. Now, this is the CNP, Council for National Policy, that just about every conservative organization in this country attends those meetings. Now, I hope everybody out there is listening. In other words, they love the UN. They support the agreements with the Soviets. I want you parents and teachers and everybody to understand that you have a lot of people on your side, but you don't know where they are. I just told you where they are. A lot of them are in the schools, hiding behind closed doors, trying to teach your children, hate what's going on more than you do, and on local school boards. But they have never seen any support from any of you. They have seen you running down the road. I'm not going to name all the conservatives. I only name one, Heritage. It really makes me mad. They drafted NAFTA that took all our good jobs away, huh? And it's the biggest supporter of school choice in this country and charter schools. I'm telling you the truth. You better identify very quickly who your friends are and who your enemy is.
Wow. Well, thank you, Charlotte. Let me ask if there's anybody else that's got a comment or a question out there.
I do.
Go ahead, Ms. Ruthie.
Ruth is here.
Go ahead, Ms. Ruth. Introduce yourself, if you don't mind. Just ask a question.
Am I on?
Yes,
you
sure are.
You're there.
Oh, I didn't know I was on. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Hi, Miss Charlotte.
I hear you.
Okay. Listen, I wanted to ask you a question. You were talking about the ground game, and you were saying, and you said we had to have a ground game, and we've been talking about that this morning before the radio program started. And I think that, I mean, what do you think about us really going into, my husband calls it the Central City, to really reach the parents and the kids right now while people are going to looking at the boards and stuff like that, the school board leaders and stuff like that, in order to get specific people on the board.
Right.
I'm talking about education. She said we had to. You said that we had to work with the education department. Not the education department, but the boards, the education boards of our local schools.
Yeah,
right?
And yes, absolutely. And you should be going. You should be getting flyers out, just like I was talking about. Probably just a good idea.
Okay. And so what I was thinking is, what I was talking about is that, because we're working to get kids out of the public school now because of the fact that...
Well, where are you going to put them?
in we're talking about putting them in churches so churches can open their school sanctuaries during the week, in a home school, anywhere that we can get them out, because you were talking about the Department of Education and that they can't, the only way that we can stop their money flow, because they're very powerful, is the only way we can stop their money flow is to have the kids completely out of the system, where that, because there's no money that's going to be flowing there. And you know, we just saw that California has more people that are getting government assistance than people who are working. If that is going to collapse the system anyway because of the fact that there's not people who are working who can pay taxes to pay the Department of Education.
Well, that's true, but you see they've got us between a rock and a hard place here, and that's why I'm very concerned. It was a long time ago that I remember saying that they would deliberately crash the public school system, and then all the kids would just be thrown out in the street, and the churches and all can't pick up all of them, and they would fall right into the trap, I wrote about this 20 years ago, of charter schools. They would fall right into that trap, which is workforce training. You know, it's an ideal situation that you're talking about, where you would find churches that would take these students, but there aren't enough churches or private entities that are going to do that. I mean, there are too many children out there. We've got to look at, you've got 16,000 school districts in this country. You've got millions of children that are going to fall between the cracks. And although I understand exactly what you're talking about, and I agree if it's a, it's an entity that doesn't take tax money of any form whatsoever, it would be safe and could have its own curriculum and all, but and wouldn't have to be tested and didn't use computers and all that. But I don't think that's going to work. I know that what I proposed there sounds radical, but don't you think that the alternative is more radical?
Absolutely.
Which is tax-funded private education without any school boards? That's the worst thing I ever heard of in my whole life, which is going to be run by the corporations, and we're going to be spending our tax money to train workers for the corporations. I mean, please, look, what could be more lethal than that? And there's a quote I have on Soviet polytech workforce training, which is exactly what we're putting in. And this is from a high-up professor, University of Georgia. And he said, Boyce was his name, Professor Eugene Boyce. He said, in Soviet education, they do not educate for jobs that don't exist. Now, do you understand what that means?
Yeah.
That's a quota system. That means if your child wants to be a welder, you have a son who's 10 years old, he wants to be a welder, he's always wanted to be a welder for some weird reason, you live in a shipbuilding place, and the school district, in conjunction with a corporate fascist corporation, they've decided that the corporation needs 5 welders. And so the corporation goes to the school, to the charter school, because that's all you'll have then without an elected board, and says, we need 5 welders. But your son is number 6. He can't be trained. He can't do what he wants. This is the Cuban system? Chinese? Russian? In many cases, the European system now, because it's so far gone, but don't forget what Gorbachev said. He called the European Union the new European Soviet. So,
well,
that's it. I mean, it's a very good solution if it had come along 40 years ago.
Charlotte,
we've got somebody else with a question. Go ahead.
Yes, Charlotte, I'm calling. My name is Candace. I'm calling from Georgia. I just learned about Common Core and
in January when I read the headline about the U.S. Department of Education partnering with the Muslim Brotherhood. I was so alarmed. So now I'm wondering if we can get our school children out of the schools and into Christian schools, homeschooling, what have you, or just start something. Are my teaching services, because I have a degree in teaching, I take my services to my church, if we open a private Christian church, even though my church can't afford to pay me, are my services tax deductible through their 501(c)? Because we have a lot of...
I want them to be, because if they hire you, they're in trouble.
What's that?
If they hire you and you have that 501(c)(3) exemption or whatever tax thing you have, they're going to have to conform their curriculum to the federal guidelines.
No. They're the 501(c). And
what
I'm just...
It? I mean, you got a tax exemption.
That's a charitable organization. That's what the church is.
Yeah, I thought that's what you said, but what were you talking about? If you have
I'm going to start a school there at my church, but they can't afford to pay me. The church cannot. Can my services be tax deductible to the church?
I don't think so, because
can I
deduct
that off my income tax?
That's like taking federal money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's like all these scholarships and all that corporations are giving, and people are trying to get around it and say, you know, that's indirect. Or tuition tax credits, huh? Chester Finn is very high up, you know, in change agent, and I know him well, you know. He's really bad at the Fordham Institute and all, and he was the assistant secretary in my old office. And at one time, he was very clear about anything like this, and he said, regarding tuition tax credits,
He said, I'm saying is, can I deduct that off my taxes?
He said, it's just like if throwing, the only way you can possibly have no control is to just throw money in the streets and let anybody pick it up and run away. Because otherwise, you're going to be labeled, controlled, your curriculum, your testing, et cetera, through any form of school choice, any form.
Wow. Okay, in the meantime, what I've been doing is I've been going around my county and going to the schools and collecting the student handbooks, because they have parent information in there. You know how you get your phone numbers and email addresses from the parents?
Yeah.
Well, I've
yeah.
been going around collecting those and forming my own database so I can do email blast and alert these parents of what is going on.
Oh,
even
good
the,
for you. That's great.
Even the
PTO. Because
the school boards, because the schools have PTO boards. And they publish all of that on the Internet, and I've been grabbing those, too. So.
Yeah, that's good. You're really far down the tubes in Georgia. You have been for a long time. You know, let me make a point here for Georgia, for instance. We have a documentary. It's called Georgia Life Process Skills, 1978 or something. And the woman's name was Lucille Jordan, and she got the money from Exxon and the U.S. Office of Ed. For this life process skills. And just for people who are doing Common Core now, listen to this. They start out in first grade through fourth grade, about 80% of the curriculum is basics, real basics, first to fourth grade. 20% is values. Then you go fourth to eighth grade. Then you go down to 50% basics, 50% values change. And then you get into high school, and it's 10% academics and 90% values change, critical thinking. Now, look, how many years ago is that you had that in Georgia? Is it any wonder we're all in trouble? And that didn't just happen in Georgia. We just happened to get the Georgia grant, because when the U.S. Office of Ed, it sends grants out to every single state. We got a hold of the Georgia one. So that tells you they have not had any intention to give an academic education to your children ever since 1965. And then on top of it, they've imposed the Skinner curriculum, which is training, not learning. But the reason I said that is that you in Georgia, you're really moving fast on school to work. I know that. You've got all these career clusters, and you're putting the whole Cuban system in. Call it Cuba. It's closer to you.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Charlotte.
Charlotte,
let me go ahead.
That's good, but I can't help you all very much. It's awfully late.
Miss Charlotte, let me go ahead and wind it down.
I think the postcard project is worth it.
Yes, that is one. I think a wonderful idea, Miss Charlotte. Let me go ahead and mention this, Miss Charlotte, before you go, and we're going to close the show. I'm going to get this off this thing that I just read. It's so wonderful. It says, in 1981, the first education data banks were launched, a common core of data, the universe files under longitudinal studies. In what is perhaps the most evidential document on the subject, measuring quality of education, by so-and-so, the writers outlined the U.S. Education Department's intention to ignore the legal and ethical warnings against privacy invasion. It says, getting into the student's personal characteristics and situations invariably prompts warnings that the NAEP, National Assessment of Educational Programs, purpose is not to analyze human development, an injunction against confusing the measurement of educational results, outcomes, and the analysis of process input. But it is being recognized increasingly that the measurement of achievement is incomplete without the accompanying identification of whatever educational circumstance may affect these results. More prophetically, two people pointed out, a different kind of assessment would help correct the tilt in the educational standards concept towards functional literacy and away from excellence.
That's right. That's very important. You should go in, I think you can go into my book, The Index, and it comes under adult performance level. It's under Secretary Bell. It started in Texas, adult proficiency level or something. And that was when, that was Secretary of Education. They started out way back, I think long before he was Secretary of Education. He was Secretary of Education before we had a department, too. Can you imagine Reagan selecting this man to be Secretary of Education when he wanted to just pull down the department? But anyway, Ted Bell, T.H. Bell, he was very important in this dumbing down to functional literacy, which is what you're talking about, right?
That started in the late
60s. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, and hey, kids can't even graduate these days and do a lot of things, read or whatever. But, Ms. Charlotte, we're going to let you go. Somebody did ask on the Internet, and I'll ask it to you, and then I'm going to ask Ms. Christina if she would to close us in prayer. She was asking, can you ask Charlotte how much time we have? I guess before it's too late.
Well, it's never too late, you know, until the fat lady sings. And I'll tell you, well, let me say this. The people who've been working on this for years just to keep it from happening, I'm one of hundreds, really, and I happen to still be alive. I'm sure they wish I weren't. But you can go back. The people who fought this, since the beginning of the last century, good Americans, they knew exactly what was happening to education. Like the Sons of the American Revolution, way back when, submitted a paper to the Congress in regard to the Marxist curriculum in 1960. So your Common Core is nothing new. But people have kept this from happening. These people, we should have gone down the tubes probably in the late 70s. I think that the Declaration of Interdependence, that's in my book, and the Cardinal Principles for the NEA was 1976. That was all about globalism. They wanted to bring us down then. So for those people out there who think that their work is not useful, it is. Good for you. Congratulations. God bless you. But focus. You've got to be careful that you don't waste time. You are doing a marvelous job. Every day you do that, you are postponing this. Every day people were doing it back 50, 60 years ago. They postponed it so you and I could today be on the phone. Do you understand now that the people who are putting this in will never let you know how successful you are? They'll never know how many you yourself will never know how many victories you've had. Let me tell you just one little story. When I leaked that technology document, I had no idea that I had done anything good until 3 years later when a great researcher from California, she received a newsletter from the top technology group in the United States. And it said in there that someone in the Department of Education had held them back 2 years by leaking a document. Now, I never would have known that, would I? I was thrilled when I saw that. Well, my, huh? Really? Well, don't forget, what you're doing right now is holding them back. And they don't like it, but they're never going to let you know that. So keep doing what you're doing, except, as I said before, focus. You've got to know what is the most important thing to attack now, because we do not have enough time to be messing around with things like standards and all.
Mm-hmm.
That work has been done. Anita Hall did it. I did it. Everybody did it. Great people are doing it now. It's done. Focus on the system. We want to hold on to our elected officials across the board in this country, because if we don't, nothing else will matter. We won't be able to vote on anything of importance. Nothing. Not guns, not land, not education, not religion, not nothing. The issue is elected elections, to be able to elect. Taxation without representation. We fought the Revolutionary War over that, didn't we? Interesting. Back then, Americans understood how important it was.
Wow.
They understood.
Yeah, we've got to stop living in gilded cages, being entertained to death, you know. Go ahead, Ms. Christina. I'm sorry.
No, I just said that that's exactly right. We not only have to quit living in gilded cages, we have to wake up to the realities and hopefully can get people engaged. I just spent 2 hours with a teacher that I felt like I'd been through a war after those 2 hours of talking to her, and she still didn't understand, and yet I was telling her she's going to lose her job. This, that doesn't even get it. So there are those you're going to reach and those you're not, but we've got to just keep trying.
Yeah, do. And don't forget that nothing, all the work you're doing is vital. And please remember that what you're doing is holding them up.
Right.
And, you know, if it's just so that your children can manage, if you've got 5-year-olds, 10 years old, at least have 10 or 15 more years, keep looking at it that way.
Right.
Every day, freedom matters.
Another way to look at it, Charlotte, is, you know, the way we can measure success is when you see Arne Duncan coming out and talking to the press.
You see these things quite often now. And all
right.
I can say is congratulations that you have really irritated them.
That's right. And this new bill that they're putting out, SB something 54, whatever it is.
1094.
Yeah, Student Success Act of 2013. With Lamar Alexander and all the commies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just terrible. But also remember with the gal who called in from Arizona, watch that one. Watch this call for a constitutional amendment. You know, the minute you see that's coming out of homeschool legal defense, just go up against that. You know, Google it and go up against this call for a constitutional amendment to the Constitution to protect the parents. Come on. The minute you turn the role, the minute you get any protection from the government, ha-ha, in quotes, huh?
Yeah.
They can
turn
that on you. They're in charge. You are giving them, they're in the catbird seat. They're going to give you something, and then they can take it away big time whenever they want.
Right. What they give, they can take away, and that's the whole thing. If people would stop, if you're listening in the audience, quit looking to your representative to fix it. They're the ones that got us into the mess.
Amen.
You're right.
Amen.
Absolutely. So you better tell Michael Ferris you don't want any part of that.
Okay. We'll be telling him, Ms. Charlotte. Thank you, Ms. Charlotte, for letting us hear from you to focus. And hey, she recommended those postcards, and please don't go to her website. Don't forget to her website, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And so we're so grateful, and hopefully we'll have you back on, Ms. Charlotte, in a couple of months or something when you have time.
Okay,
but now we're going to close. And go ahead.
Good luck, and be sure to go, around the 1st of September to Amazon to get the. It's called Global Road to Ruin. Through education. That's the name of the 4-disc project.
Yeah, we need to be watching the video right now that, you know, she's posted on the website for us. We need to be just passing that everywhere. So God bless you, Ms. Charlotte. Thank you so much. We look forward to hearing from you again. And Ms. Christina, I know you want to pray for Ms. Charlotte and really, you know, what she has opened her eyes to.
She certainly has, and it's such a blessing. such a blessing.
Well, I just, everybody's got to get a copy of Gerstner's comment.
Yes.
You know what? You should put that on a billboard.
Okay. Well, it's on your email. Well, I've always sent it to you, Miss Charlotte, so there you go. And we'll get it everywhere.
Can't wait. You know what I'm going to use it for? The Heritage Foundation has a big luncheon coming up down in Portland for charter schools. I'm going to put it on a poster. I'm going to go and go outside the building with it and walk around.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
I love
Hang on,
it.
I'll
Thank
come
you.
With you, Charlotte. I'll come with you. Guess we'll take a cup.
Okay, thanks a lot.
God bless you, honey.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Oh.
Miss Christina, you want to pray for her before she goes?
I think she hung up. Is she, oh, Charlotte, are
okay.
you there?
No, she's gone.
Okay, go ahead.
I guess when I said God bless you or she's a blessing, that she thought that was it.
Well, we'll just lift her up to the Lord right now and all these other things.
Okay, let me just, oh, Lord, we just all come together. Lord, we just thank you for the blessing of this show today. Lord, we just can tell how it's so blessed so many people because of the call-ins, Lord, and everybody just is seeking this information. They want to know the truth, Lord, because we can't fight the battle if we don't know the truth. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your hand of blessing upon Miss Charlotte Iserby. And, Lord, I want to say a special thank you for bringing her into my life and into our lives, that this woman of wisdom and pearls of wisdom she has can share with us. We need to be learning so much from her, Lord, so that we can understand how truly evil and dark this agenda is. And, Lord, I just thank you for me because I so get it, and it's been something that I've been working on, as you know, Lord, for so long, and it's just a validation. So, Lord, I just thank you for the blessing of all of this information. We all thank you, Lord, as we stand together in united form here. We stand together, Lord. We're standing in the gap for these children. And, Lord, we just thank you for the blessing of the City on the Hill radio show that we can get this information out like we have today. We thank you for all our warriors out there in the field, Lord, that heard this message and will take it forth in battle. And, Lord, I pray that they seek you first in all things before they go. But, Lord, send them on their way with the Spirit as their guide. And all of us, Lord, I just thank you for this day, our blessings and protection from you, Lord, to each one of us as we go forth in your army, Lord, to defeat this evil and this darkness that is trying to destroy our children and our nation. Lord, we do stand in the gap. And, Lord, we just thank you that your hand is upon us. And, Lord, that we never forget, not for a moment, to seek you first in all things, not to look to man, Lord, but to look to you. And not to fight it the world's way, Lord, but to fight it your way. Lord, I just thank you for a special blessing on Miss Charlotte right now, for her healing, Lord, because she's been sick. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have blessed us with and given us with. And, Lord, we thank you that you continue to guide our steps each and every day as we seek you, Lord, in this battle. Lord, we just thank you and praise you. We give you the honor and the glory in all things. And we thank you and pray this in your precious and holy name, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to close with something from John Winthrop, who was the founder and first governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. So Oliver Cromwell asked him to join the revolution in England. Instead, he helped form a new world with religious freedom, of which we are the proud beneficiary. On June 11, 1630, on board the Arabella, he wrote his most famous work, A Model of Christian Charity, which served as a guide for a constitutional covenant of the colonies. Here is the famous term, City Upon a Hill. We shall find that the God of Israel is among us. When 10 of us shall be able to resist a thousand of our enemies, when he shall make us a praise and glory, that men of succeeding plantations shall say, the Lord make it like that of New England. For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us. so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword through the world. We don't want to be made a byword. We want to acknowledge God, the founding fathers did. So, hey, get on board with us. May God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Please share the podcast at www.cityonahill.tv with all your friends and family. And remember Ms. Charlotte and her website. Go to the deliberate dumbing down of America and let's get back on the road to exceptionalism. May God bless you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.